That is Kabbalah Soma HaShemayim. Because once a person recognizes that reality and he's in that world of reality, he has to live according to the dictates of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That is Kabbalah Soma HaShemayim. That's why our Kabbalah Soma HaShemayim is a strange kind of a statement. It's not a Kabbalah Soma HaShemayim that any person would ordinarily put together. A Kabbalah might have done. The Kabbalah lots of meaning is different kind. It's the Diyas Hashem, that is Kabbalah Soma HaShemayim. Now the Ramban says that eventually in Yemos HaMashiach, he says that there won't be any more Yetzer Hara. That's what he says. That explains the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says Shekulam Yedu Osu L'miktanom V'yad Gedolam. How is it possible to say that they'll all know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's impossible. And as a matter of fact, the Radak on the spot says it doesn't mean everybody's going to be the same level of Chachma. He says that's impossible. Everybody's different. But it means to say that even on the most basic level, what does it mean that they don't know God? It means even the person who is on the most basic level will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means the concept of God will register on his rational principle. You understand what I mean? In his mind. Why? Because that's umolav Hashem alakechas levavcha v'slav darecha. What does it mean to say? It means what we mentioned before, that as long as a person's emotions, as long as a person is distorted in terms of his midos, in terms of his emotions, you see, he's prevented from seeing God as a reality. Prevents him from seeing God. Umolav Hashem alakechas levavcha. V'avosad Hashem alakecha. V'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha l'man chayecha. What does it mean? It means to say, that's what the Ramban says, that by the removal of the midos of a person, the contradictory midos of a person, and the desires, he won't be in a situation where he finds it difficult for him to recognize the reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What prevents a person from recognizing the reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The Yetzer Hara. That's what prevents him. It's not his intellect. His mind would readily see it. But the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual part of man, doesn't want to accept the idea because the idea is too difficult for him to be able to accept and simultaneously follow his instinctual way of life. You see. That's why the Ramban says that the moment there's Bitul Yetzer Hara, there's Yedias Hashem and there's Avas Hashem. And that's the Pasuk. Shekulam Yedu Asri V'Miktanam V'Yagidolam. Now you understand what Rabbeinu Yonah says, Leida, Lehodia, and Lehivada. Leida and Lehodia are two different levels. Where? This world. What is Lehivada? Lehivada is Yemos HaMashiach. Yemos HaMashiach means that there will be a different kind of recognition. A recognition which is based upon the removal of the Bitul Yetzer Hara, and the reality principle of the human mind will be able to see God just like he knows anything else. Because there won't be anything impeding, anything preventing him from this, from Yedias Hashem, from the idea of God being a part of his intellect, of his reasoning. What is the Ma'akev? Is a Ma'akev. The Ma'akev is the Yetzer Hara. Bitul Yetzer Hara means Shekulam. That's Levada. Levada is a different kind of a level. Such a level you can't have. B'olam Hazeh. Only a few people. A few people. A person is on a very high level. Of course, a person on a very high level. Rambam and Goli Yisroel. Very few people are not Mizer like the Rambam. But the rest of humanity, it's only laid down Lodia. That's the highest level you can reach. Levada is Levada. The Rambam says that nothing will change from the Teva. In Yemos HaMashiach, nothing's going to be different. So, what Danny's asking is, the Rambam wouldn't agree with this because the Ramban is saying that something's going to change at that time in the human personality. And the answer is like this. The answer is the Rambam and Ramban both agree that that state will come into existence. The only thing they differ in is how it will come into existence. According to the Ramban, it's going to come into existence by a change in human psychology, in the nature of human psyche, some kind of change in nature. According to the Rambam, it'll come about naturally. It means that mankind will reach a certain level that recognition, there won't be any barrier in terms of the recognition of God. It will be an accepted fact. Like this. Now, that's what I'm telling you is like this. That the Mishnah is talking about the height of reality. Because it's telling you before is Motzinus Olam HaOlam, and then he's telling you what the Olam is. And what is the Olam? The Olam is, when he sees Yiludim, it's Lamas. A regular person sees a Yilud, then he thinks he's very happy about the joy of life. And Rabbi Elazar Kapor sees a Yilud, and what does he see? Mesa. Lamas. A Mason, a regular person sees a mace, and he moves away with horror. And Rabbi Elazar Kapor sees a mace, and he's going to be a life son. Because he sees the world through the mind's eye. Now he says like this, Leida lahodi livada. Then he says, Shehu keil, hu hayotzer, hu haborei, hu hamevin, hu hadayin, hu eid, hu baldin, hu wasid lodin baruchu, shein lefonu v'lo avav, v'lo shikho, v'lo masapanim, v'lo mekach shochat, shakol shalo. What does that mean? What does it all mean? It means one thing. What does it mean? It means exactly what we've been saying. It means that Yediyas Hashem is Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim. That's what it means. It means Leida Lahodiya Livada. If a person reaches the level of Yediyah, so what is it? What is the conclusion? Shehu Keil, Hu HaYotzer, Hu HaBorei. You see? Hu HaMeivin, Hu HaDayan, Hu Eid, Hu Baldin, Hu Asid Lodin, Shein Lefanuch, Lo Avlov, Lo Shikchov, Lo Masaponim. It means it's a lot of terms, and each term has a different impact, but it's one concept. It's Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim. That's what he's saying. He's saying if it's Leida Lodiya Livada, if there is Yediyas Hashem, then there's Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim. Then it's a recognition of God as a reality, and the recognition of God as a reality in a Borei Olam, it means Molech Al Aretz Kavodo. He senses God. God is everywhere. He permeates the every part of existence. So then it's Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim, and it's who Eid, who Dayan, who he's a Dayan. He lefon lo shikchov lo masapanim. It's Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim. That's what he's saying. If there's Yediyas Hashem, there's Kabbalas Olam HaShemayim. That's basically what his formula is. Okay.
That's true.
Baina Shachman went up to Dayan. Kale, Einstein also. Kale, Yotzer, Borei, Maven, yes. But Dayan, no. What's the explanation? The answer is very simple. The answer is that it's impossible for a person to really understand, to have a knowledge of Dayan, to have a knowledge of Eid, to have a knowledge of Asid Lodun. Impossible to have a knowledge of that unless he has a source. The only source is Nevuah. Without Nevuah, you can't arrive at that conclusion. And they didn't. Without Nevuah, they didn't have the benefit of seeing and perceiving Chochmas HaTorah. They had the benefit of perceiving Chochmas Hashem, and that's why they came to the conclusion: who were Borei, who Yotzer, and they were Mefoyer, Meshabeach. True, they perceived. They were Makayim the Mitzvah of the Rambam of Avas Hashem, but they never saw Chochmas Hashem through Torah. They simply never saw it. And since they didn't see it, they weren't able to know that which we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't know from the Bria alone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with man. On the contrary, they came to the conclusion that David HaMelech says, Mo'enosh kisiskerenu, which means even David HaMelech said, how is it possible God relates to man? When a person understands the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make any sense. So they were made with that conclusion. But Yadus maintains that as absurd as it sounds, we have no right to draw conclusions about it. Even though it's absurd for us to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with us, because we are nothing. But nevertheless, the fact is that he is. Because it's not a comfortable feeling. If it's a comfortable feeling, there's something wrong. And the person's an egomaniac if he feels happy with the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly concerned with him. But on the contrary, Mo'enosh kisiskerenu, should be uncomfortable emotionally. But we know the fact. We know the fact from the Nevi'im. We know the fact from Torah. Should be intellectually uncomfortable. Yes.
I don't understand why
allowed. And it's a description. The description of the Mishnah is all those terms which represent Kapolas al Malch HaShemayim. Dayin, Eid, Baldin, Osid Lodun, Shein Lafon of Lo Avlo, Lo Shikho, Lo Masaponim, Lo Mekach Shochah, Chakol Shalal. That's what the statement is. It's Kabbalah Olam HaShemayim, basically. That's what the statement is. Okay, Kabbalah Olam HaShemayim is this two components. And Kabbalah Olam HaShemayim is two components. First, you have the component of, you have the bracha, the first bracha of Krishna is Yotzer Or Meir La'aretz V'Adom Ro Olah Barachman, is the bracha of the creation of the world. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the Creator. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of understanding the laws of nature, physics. Then you have Avo Rabba. The second bracha is Ashgachas Hashem. Avo Rav Tan Hashem Lekeinu. That's Ashgachas Hashem. There's two components. So he breaks it up into two components. First you have Ukel, Yotzer, Bore, Maven. Then, that's the first part. Then Dayan, Eid. All those, the second components are components as far as he relates to man. That completes the Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is through Chochmas Abriya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei, the Yotzer Or, Baruch Hosh HaShem HaZakol, Hamei Laretz, and then the Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim is completed through Avo Rabba, the fact that God relates to man, and specifically through his Ashgacha. The greatest aspect of his Ashgacha is Matan Torah. Okay? The Rambam just says one thing about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu recognized the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nonsensities involved in Avodah Zarah. That's what he recognized. He understood that. He saw this is just the projections, the crazy psychological projections. There's no basis for what they're doing. So he used to criticize them, and he said there is a Borei Olam, but the Borei Olam is far away from what you think you're doing. So that's what Avraham Avinu recognized. Did Avraham Avinu know about Hashgachas Hashem before? According to Nevuah really is a natural progression in a person's knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a magical thing. It's a natural progression. It means that he directly can relate to God's knowledge. He doesn't have to go through the medium of investigation. Because investigation is a medium. Because whenever you investigate, it's like a blind man that can't see something in front of him, and he has to line up things in order to make deductions. Nevuah is a direct insight. But that's a level that a person reaches after he reaches the highest level of chokhmah. But it doesn't say anywhere that Avraham Avinu came to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dayan before Nevuah. He says, V'dash HaKol Lefi HaKeshman. He says, V'dash HaKol Lefi HaKeshman. What does it mean, HaKol Lefi HaKeshman? What is this? What kind of Cheshman? What's the Cheshman? An interesting Chazal. The Chazal say in Parshas Chukas, it says, Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbo. In Parshas Chukas. Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbo. It's talking about the Mochamas, the war between Sichon and Moab. Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim Bo Cheshbo Tibone V'Sikone Nir Sichon. So the city of Sichon should be constructed. It has to do with the Cheshbon, Yisichon, Melech HaMori, the whole history of Moav and the Mechama of Moav and Sichon. Okay. So it's a chukas. But there's a strange chazal on this. Chazal also like this. Tanya, Omer of Shmo bar Nachmeni on Rabbi Yenisi. Mai dechsiv al kein yom ha-moshlim bo Cheshbon. It says the rulers say we should go to Cheshbon. Ha-moshlim, what does it mean, the rulers? It doesn't mean the kings, the rulers. Elo HaMoshlim B'Yitzron. These are the people who have control over their desires. Bo Cheshbon. What is Bo Cheshbon? Bo V'Nachshav Cheshbon HaShalola. Let's go figure out the Cheshbon of... Cheshbon means the other sense of Cheshbon would be the what? The calculation. Calculation of ethical calculations. Ethical calculation. Cheshbon HaShalola. Hefzid Mitzvah Keneged Schara. What the loss of a mitzvah is, weigh it against the reward. Uschar Avera and the reward of an Avera, Keneged Hefseda. Weigh it against the loss of the Avera. Tibona Visikonein, what does it mean, Tibona Visikonein? Imata Osakein, if you do this, Tibona Bola Mazer, Visikone Olamabot. You make this cheshbon, and you'll be firmly established, built in this world, and you'll be established in the next world. Okay? Now, Then Chazal goes on. But I just want to preface before we go any further. That when Chazal say things like this, I want you to understand, a lot of people, you know, they learn Gemara, especially, you know, kids in high school, like, they get turned off. Because they say, well, Chazal just throw things in there. But there's nothing to do with it. And you're saying, a Moshlim be Yitzram. And the truth of the matter is, you have to just understand the methodology of Chazal. And he mentions it, the Torah Tmimah. It brings on quotes to the Rashba. And it's a fact. It's the Rashba, he quotes the Shiloh, the Rosh. It means that the pasuk, of course, didn't mean that. But Chazal used to look for psukim that were similar in wording to some idea that they wanted to remember, because he weren't permitted to write down anything in Torah Shebal Peh. So it's an asmachta, the method of asmachta. So therefore, they took psukim that were similar in wording and they reinterpreted them for ideas. Not that the pasuk means those ideas. You see, not the pasuk means ideas, but the Rashba said. But the reason it's clear, the reason is because they wanted to have like a memory hook. See, so therefore, nimak divad. So they took the psukim. Everybody knew about that. So they took the psukim and they tied ideas to them. They would do that a lot. They would do it a lot. This is one of the cases. Doesn't mean that's what the pasuk means. Pasuk doesn't mean. Okay, but anyway, it's like this. So it's an interesting chazal. What does chazal say? It says bo v'nachshov cheshbono shalola. Schar mitzvah k'neged avera. What does it mean? What does it mean, schar mitzvah k'neged avera? So it means to say, it's an interesting thing. It means to say, why do you have to have this whole cheshbon for? A person just be flum and do it to the sinners, and that's it? What are you cheshbon? What's not the burden for? What's the answer? Apparently, if a person doesn't make a cheshbon, it says, imata osa came to boner ba'olam hazeh v'sikon l'olam haba. If you just do it out of religiosity, you just keep the Torah, that's the firm person. It's not going to be kibbon v'zikon. It's only cheshbon. Bo cheshbon means schar mitzvah k'neged hafsed. It means the person has to understand what the good is. He has to be able to make a cheshbon to see this is the value of the mitzvah, and the avera has a certain value also. But let's see what that value is, and let's analyze it and see what is the rational thing for a person to do. In other words, a person must do mitzvahs based upon his chachma, not simply based upon his religiosity. Is it? Cheshbon or shalala? So cheshbon says, imata osakin, if you really understand the benefit of a mitzvah. It's a reality. It's based upon your reality. Cheshbon is calculation. You can't make calculation with a religious emotion. Calculation means with the mind, with the intellect. If it's done with chachma, so then you will be tibone b'olam hazeh and tikone lala b'ol. Schar mitzvah k'neged hafsedah. The person is usually an avera. It's a terrible thing, avera. Understand. You have to understand the avera. What is this? Is there a benefit in the avera? Well, let's analyze it. Let's understand it. The person understands and sees what the avera, where the avera leads him, and he understands, yes, there may be some pleasure, but let's see what the result is. A cheshbon, you see? But if he does it just simply, he abstains, it's just done. That's not really a high level. It's cheshbono, or ken yom emotion bo cheshbon. And he continues like this. He says, Ochlo or Moab. Zeha Mahalech. No, sorry. I skipped on. Ir Sichon. What's Ir Sichon? In Mesim Adam Atzmo ki Ir Zeh. She Mahalech Achar Sichon Noe. The person makes himself like this city. Sichon. Sichon. That is Mahalech Achar Sichon Noe. It means he follows a Sichon Noe. A very nice conversation, you see. Maksiv Acharov, Kiesh Yatzame Cheshbon. Teitzeish Mimachshovin, Vetoch Mimachashvin. Teitzeish Mimachashvin, Vetoch Alashena Machashvin. Okay? Now you see, he says, Ochlo Omov, Zeha Mahalach Acha Yitzro, Kiir Zeshe Mahalach Acha Sicho Noah. Okay? What does it mean? What is Sichonoa? What is Sichonoa? What is Sichonoa? What does it mean, Sichonoa? Sichonoa means what we mentioned last week. Sichonoa means that what is the essence of three things, Motzinus Adam and Olam? The Kinoa, Taiva, and Kavod. Now, how did Rabbeinu Yonah explain Taiva? How did Rabbeinu Yonah explain Taiva? Taiva is like a Sichonoa. It's like a soft-spoken conversation. It's like a conversation, a soothing conversation. It means he just follows, that's Yitzro. He just follows that which soothes his nature. You see? Which is comfortable. That's the Yetzer Hara. And maybe it's a corroboration for what Rabbeinu Yonah says. You see? Sichano is the Yetzer Hara. It means he just follows that which feels good. It's a Sichano. It feels comfortable, we follow those emotions. He doesn't analyze the underlying emotions that feel so comfortable that draw him to his way of life. You see? That's a person who is not cheshbon. Cheshbon means that he can make a cheshbon against the sichanar. It feels very comfortable. It's painful to remove myself from this, but let me analyze and see what this, if this direction I'm taking is rational, to make sense, if it's in line with a cheshbon. That's the chazar. So he says that da'ash ha'kol lefi ha'cheshbon. It means, that's what it means to say. He means that everything goes according to the cheshbon, which means to say that a person's state is determined completely based upon an intricate cheshbon nefesh. An intricate cheshbon nefesh, not just a simple cheshbon. It's an intricate cheshbon. Most people don't know that cheshbon because they're not part of the ones that are young emotional b'yitzron b'ol cheshbon. That's basically, what does it mean emotional b'yitzron b'ol cheshbon? It means a regular person is not emotional b'yitzron, he follows the sichanor. The one that's the one that says b'ol cheshbon, he says, stop, 1 second, I have to analyze this. He's a person that makes cheshbon. That's the difference between the emotional b'yitzron between the average person. The difference between Talmud Chacham and the average person. It's an extension of the idea, of the reality principle.
Interesting the way the Sephorno formulates it on the pasuk we mentioned last week, Yadata Yom HaShavosa El Vavecha. So the pasuk is found two places in the Torah, over here in Vaschanan and Dalit, and then again it's found in Yitzhakim. That La'achras Hayomim, the Achras Hayomim, when Klal Yisrael does tshuva, HaShavosa El Vavecha, Hashem Hu Elokim, and the Sephorno says, Va'achar isbonenus has bonus toshev alavavecho achelak hamiti mehem. Who are Hashem? Ki are Hashem olakim. Hamesada hanitzri, hamafursum, bashamayim imav alors mitochas. The one that's the eternal organizer, and the one that is known as mafursum, the eternal organizer of nature. Ki omnam alze yoras sidrom the Kishron, va'atachlis hamusig mehem, asher lo yusag zulasom. So, ked Hashem olakim b'shamayim imal, v'aloras mitachas means through the knowledge of the cosmos. So a person knows, a person becomes aware of God, u'bahem noda, and through them it is known, sheyesh nimtza mechuvan, shehimtzi kol zeh, v'atachlis mechuvan me'itah. So a person has knowledge of the cosmos, so he sees that there is behind the cosmos a purposeful being. Eino, there is no one else. He says, Umizei yivodash eino. And from this it will be known that there is no one else besides God. Ki hu min ha-hechra, shel lo yiyeh kol zeh, because it is a necessary deduction, that this could never exist, Zulosi b'koach ezenunza, except through the power of some existing force. Nivdar mechomer, that is separated from the physical, not a physical body. Ma'od nala, very high, removed. B'tachlis ha'efshe, to the most possible degree. V'nimtza shi'yosem me'achad, and it's impossible that it could be one more than one force, because he says b'zosem adrega me'ha'ilui asher ein kamoha, on this high level, ki b'nivdolim lo yipo mispar zulasi b'yosem b'lti shovim b'madrega. He says, because when you're speaking about abstract entities, non-physical entities, the only differentiation is their level of existence. And since God is the highest level, so it becomes clear from studying the cosmos that highest force that's behind the unraveling of the cosmos is God. And you quoted many times before from Albert Einstein, but I think I agree with Plato, that a good idea is worth repeating. Albert Einstein said, everyone who is seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we, with our modest powers, must feel humble. That's what I think. That's basically the same exact thing, in different terms, but the exact same idea that the Sforna are saying. Same idea. So Yadis maintains that a person who investigates nature, provided, of course, he's perfected in terms of his emotion. He's not under the sway of any unruly emotions in his makeup, will come to that conclusion and that conviction. And basically, that's it's interesting. The Maharsha also mentions the same idea. The Maharsha says, and he says, on Vahafdeis Hashem Lekecha b'chol levavacha v'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha. So the Maharsha says, b'chol levavacha with all your heart. Hakavona b'zeh, he says, this is in Brachas, Daf Yizayin Amaral. Hakavona b'zeh kemo shekosfu afilosufim holakim. Like the metaphysical philosophers wrote, the chayev kol odom lahaskil b'yidiyas mitziyusa. Every person is obligated lahaskil to understand to understand the knowledge of God's existence, vachduso, and his oneness, v'yecholto, and his powers, v'yidiyas derochav, and knowledge of his ways, yisbarach, baracho, kefi yad sichlo shel odom, according to the amount of seichel, of knowledge, of innate intelligence that a person has. Ach al pi amunaseinu. Of course, only according to the principles of our Torah, which the Nevi'im have taught us. V'Torah, v'chol ma sh'nira lo b'sichlo shehu neged Torah Seinu HaGedosha, anything which is against the principles of knowledge of our Torah, lo yamin bo, v'yitla adavar b'kot sichlo. And if he remains with a problem, he should realize that it's because of the limitations of his own sechel. V'zeo shamar Rab Meir, g'mor b'chol levavcha, l'das daki Hashem Hashem menu tinsa mofes l'metziyuso v'achduso v'yecholta. That l'das daki Hashem, to know the ways of God, means that a person should gain knowledge of God's existence and his oneness and his omnipotence. Shehu vaday dovar gadol. This certainly is a great thing. Ki gam zeo ish Moshe Rabbeinu b'kesh al zeh. Hodiyedi noz d'rochecha. Ach! Omar Shetishkod al Dalse Torasi, but he said also Shetishkod al Dalse Torasi that he should should dwell by the doors of the Torah, which means Shilotozuz Mimena. He shouldn't budge from it. The Dover Shiyala Lipcha Vahunega Torah Simosha, anything that your mind entertains, any thought your mind entertains and it's against the Torah Simosha, who derech apokursus, ulo tashkich boklav. So this is clear. You shouldn't pay any attention to it. But so therefore, what Yadus set up, and this is really what Sadigayin says. So what is Yadus? Yadus is a twofold system. It's a system of knowledge. But we have already from the Nevi'im. We have the conclusions. But just because we have the conclusions from the Nevi'im doesn't free a person from understanding. From understanding the ideas of the ideas insofar as we can concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to register in a person's reality principle. That's the concept of Yedias Hashem. That's what it means, Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem doesn't mean a different idea of Yedias. Yedias Hashem doesn't mean the knowledge of God, because we can't really have knowledge of God. It means knowledge concerning God. That's Yedias Hashem. That our relationship to God must be through the mind and through knowledge. And if a person doesn't reach that level, he never really is mekayem the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Ish bar leyedo, uchsil leyavnados. An empty-headed person can't understand it. Only a person with great knowledge. But that is the mitzvah. A mitzvah eventuates in a certain type of relation to God. That is a different type of relation. It's not a simply a religious feeling. That's not what the Yadat Hayom Hashavos Olavach. Of course, for the Hamonam, the most of the people can't really rise above that because they don't have the ability to. But a Chacham, and that's this obligation? Absolutely. He is. Will the average person really reach that level? No. He'll reach the level in after Yemos HaMashiach. That's what the Pasuk says. That's what the Rabbein Yonah mentioned. He says that Leida lo diem livoda. That's what livoda is. The Pesukim in Yitzavim. V'hoye kivoye lecha kol advar me'el ha'brocha v'aklola asher nesata lefanecha. That's talking about the Achris Hayomim, Ramban. So the question is, will the Jewish people, will they all keep the Torah? Eventually, yes. But can you say that every Jew isn't charged with the obligation to keep it? Of course not. Just the question of what they will do and what they're obligated to do are two different questions. And the Radak says it's impossible to say that everybody has the same seichel. I mean, that's the nature of the Bria. Some people have a greater karech ha-seichel, some people have less. But each person will have, on his level, the recognition of the reality of God's existence will be a part of his mind, a part of his intellectual total knowledge. Heisenberg mentions this in his book, Physics and Philosophy. He says that you see that the basic problems that the ancients brought up about the eternity of the universe and the basic problems of philosophy, he says, are problems that science is grappling with today. So he says it's an amazing phenomena, but you see that the world is created with a certain order, and that even on a basic level, a person without even very much experimentation, like in today's terms, can see an unbelievable amount of chachm, you say. So the universe is created in such a way that at any stage you could always see chachm Hashem. And of course, you know, it takes insight, patterns in nature. Otherwise, if there's no patterns, there's no science. That's it. It's the end of science. So by definition, science means that there's a harmony in the creation, and this harmony in the creation was evident from the earliest times. That's why Avraham Avinu was able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the harmony is evident on any level. Like a person with deep insight can strike at the core of issues that are issues today, and those issues existed 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. So that's the way the universe is made, and man was given a tzelem elokim that he can ponder the chachmas Hashem on any level. It's impossible. A person sees the chachmas of Talmud, he sees the chachmas elokim. It's impossible for a human mind to have created Shas, because the greatest human minds, when they study Shas, realize that they're just scratching the surface. It's an endless science. Therefore, anyone that knows Shas can see Yad Elokim from Shas. No question about it. It's just a lack of knowledge. Yes. There's a difference between a contradiction, like people say, like the Rambam contradicts himself. Oh, so maybe he just didn't know what he was doing. He was just a fool, just writing things that are contradictory. There's a difference in the type of contradictions and difficulties that a person confronts in a real science, and a person confronts difficulties in a fool that wrote something that's contradictory. In a foolish writing, you see right away it's inherently contradictory. There's no way to resolve it. But problems in science, problems in Gemara and Shas are of a different nature. They're problems that aren't inherently essentially contradictory. They're problems that you could sense that it is pointing to a new concept. The problems, the nature of the problems, are pointing to a new area. That's why the scientists don't abandon the science. Because why don't they say, well, you see, there's no unified field, so therefore no unified field theory, so the whole thing is crazy, the universe is crazy, what are you working on? The answer is because they could sense that there is something underlying all of this. It's not simply a crazy contradiction, but there is something underlying all these phenomena, but we don't have the knowledge. That's a sense that a person, a chacham, receives when he's studying an area. Otherwise, he'd abandon it. He'd say the whole thing's crazy. Why should I go any further? There's no reason to go any further. It's all contradictory. But the answer is that from the nature of the problem, you can say, when you see a contradiction in the Rambam, it's not simply an open contradiction. It's a contradiction, but there's something you could sense. There's something underneath there that would resolve this kind. It's pointing towards a new concept. A certain sense that a chacham has when he sees a difficulty or a seeming contradiction in the laws of nature. It's always a seeming contradiction. A person didn't have the faith that this is, it's not really faith, but the sense that there is a solution. Well, where does he have this sense from? From the nature of the problem. Certain problems, a person writes a foolish work and you see contradictions from the first from the beginning to the end. I mean, you can see right away, that's it, it's ridiculous. But when you see a contradiction in the Rambam, there's something different about a contradiction in the Rambam. It's not so straight. You can see that there's something here beneath the surface. That's how a Chacham can detect a new idea. You know, you can detect that this kasha, this question, is nothing more than the start. A starting point of a new idea. A question is really a starting point. Starting point of a new idea. You see. And that same phenomenon exists in Chachmas HaTorah. In Chachmas HaTorah. When a person studies, when you look at a Reb Chaim, and a Reb Chaim opens up an area in Shas, I mean, the questions that he raises, you could sense there's something here behind this. And then Reb Chaim shows the idea, and you see clearly how the whole picture emerges. That's a Chachmas HaTorah. That's Chachmas HaTorah. That's Shein Lasof. What does he want to say? Gedolim Mideretz Mider, Rechavim Mineyom, Rechavim Mineyom. The sense that a Chacham has when he approaches a work of depth. And those who have studied Torah, the greatest minds who have studied Torah, have seen the endless depth of Torah. They themselves saw. What does the Ram say? The Ram mentions in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, he says there are areas that even Nevi'im weren't fully able to master. Even Nevi'im. That means the Navi saw that Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, the Ram says, is the most abstract area in Shas. It says the Navi saw that there's something here of infinite depth that they couldn't fully grasp. That's what Reb Chaim said. The person thinks that the Rashba is not a giant intellect, wasn't a great intellect. He says, no, not Pekaris, he's just not Maritz. He doesn't know how to learn. He doesn't know how to learn, you see. Before we go any further, I would say that that is the same concept in Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem is not like the solution of a problem, you see. Because if it partook of the solution of a problem, then it means that man would have knowledge of God. That's impossible, you see. Yedias Hashem is the same kind of sense that the chacham has, that any chacham has in any field, when he senses that there is something behind the phenomena. That's the same kind of sense. You could sense that there is something. It's like Einstein said, anyone that studies science becomes convinced that there is a spirit behind the laws of nature. That's what he means. The spirit behind the laws of nature means that with the same part of his mind that analyzes problems, he could sense that there's a spirit behind the laws of nature. That's the intellectual intuitive. Intellectual intuitive. That's what he's referring to. And intellectual intuition is really the essence of science, because without intellectual intuition, a person does not know where to go. They say that Einstein used to say that when he had a problem, he'd say, I think to myself, how would God create this thing? And the Rav Moshe Rav Chaim once, so Rav Chaim heard a kasha, he says, Rav Chaim intuitively knew, before he had the answer, he knew from where the answer is going to, the place from where the answer is going to be derived, the sense, an intellectual sense. The intellectual intuition of man gives him that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could never really grasp HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's too far removed. It's impossible for him. He's only created existence. But that to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's capable of doing. That's right. It only brings you to a point of a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the laws of nature. And the more a person understands, the more a person sees the Chachma, the greater his asaga of that being behind that system which he sees is. That's why the greater a chacham, the greater Avas Hashem. You understand what I mean? It's a proportion. It's a proportion. That's what the Rambam says, that Avas Hashem cannot exceed a person's knowledge. Because the greater, if a person marvels at the chachmas Hashem, the more knowledge he has of the Maisei Hashem, the greater he marvels at the being that's behind this chachma. So it's in direct proportion to his chachma. It can't exceed his chachma. You understand what I mean? That's what the Rambam's really saying. That the chachma, the chachmas, pia dea kia ha'ava. You can't exceed the ava. Ava cannot exceed the chachma. Because through the chachma, that is Avas Hashem. And if a person simply would want to work on Avas Hashem and try to gain Avas Hashem emotionally, there's no such thing. Because that's not Avas Hashem. It's a different thing. The Avas Hashem is based upon a recognition that registers on the reality principle. So a person will simply emotionally psych himself up to Avas Hashem. That's not Avas Hashem. I'm not saying that there's no place for such a phenomena in Yadus. There certainly is, because it's very important in terms of getting a person, at least on the first step. Yadus is very careful about the first step. The Torah describes God in ways, I mean, that sound almost like physical. Yad Hashem and Israel and Atuya. Why did God do that? And that's why the Gemara says that right to do that was only God can determine the exact point. This is a dangerous thing. I mean, if you go too far, so then the person is going to be tied emotionally, he's going to be tied to a physical idea of God. That would be a horror. That would be like a vodazar. On the other hand, to leave him without anything is impossible, because he's not on the level to perceive God, the Taras Fakhma. You're talking to a person that's on a low level. So who decides what the exact point is, where it's enough to give a person the conviction, and yet not too much so that it doesn't allow him to attach his emotions to it? Who decides what that level is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara says. Umole kasuv, umole mikra kasuv, e efshalama, the Gemara says. The Gemara says many times, if it wasn't for a pasuk, one would not be permitted to utter that statement. Why? To verbalize that statement. Because it means, when the Gemara makes that statement, it's a reference to psukim that describe God in a physical way. So if it wasn't that God described it that way, because he knows the exact point, we would not be allowed to say such a thing. Because it would, we have no right to make any statements then that imply Akshamas HaBarei. That give God physical dimensions. Now we have no right to do that. But the Pasuk knows the exact point. That's Umole Mikra Kasev Yeshalom. Kaveyachal. As if it were possible. It's as if. All those psukim are as if. It's a principle in Chazal. See, when we use the term Chacham, what we mean is what the Rambam, when the Rambam uses it, it's bet. See, translations are bet because it translates intellectuality. What we think of today as intellectuality is not really what the Rambam meant as intellectual. We think of intellectuality, a person who's a great mathematician is an intellectual. That's not an intellectual by us. Intellectual means that every fiber of his makeup is tuned into Chachma. That's an intellectual. Not if he's a mathematician on one side, but then he's crazy when it comes to other areas. Doesn't? So it means, yeah, Albert Einstein was, in my opinion, a perfected individual on all levels. In every area that you spoke to the man was a Chacham. Every area. Any area you spoke to. He always made recourse to Chachma. He subordinated himself to Chachma in every area. He was a perfected, naturally perfected type of person. That's why a lot of things he says is Mechavim to Chazal. I mean, a lot of things that he said. Some things, Nilu Diyama, is Mechavim to, because a person who has a Seichel Yashar can do that. And he was that type of individual. He was a true Chacham. A person comes to the recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu through science, is Mekayim Avas Hashem, no question about it. But he'll never know God insofar as God relates to this world. Either he'll deny it, or else he'll have an infantile idea about it. He will never have the proper idea. The proper idea of the way God relates to this world is only expressed through Torah. And the idea is one which we ourselves don't fully comprehend. It is not simply a comfortable feeling that God is watching you. It's a childish notion. If you study Torah carefully, you'll see that the notion of the way God relates to the world is one that we can't really grasp and we can't really feel comfortable emotionally with. You see? It's a different kind of a thing. It's like I would say that we can't feel like what does God love? What does God love, so to speak? I mean, every term we use, of course, is metaphorical. But what does God love? So the Rambam writes somewhere, I think it's in the Mara. He says, God loves the truth. And he loves the people that embody the truth. He says, that's what God loves. Now, for us, that sounds like no religion ever came up with such an idea because it's not emotionally satisfying. People like to think, well, God loves a nice person, a kind person, a good person. Those are things that people feel comfortable with. They say, I'm a good person, so God loves me. But you see, in Yadis, it's not so simple. And the Rambam mentions, in the Mori, mentions that a person that has wrong ideas about God, he says, is worse than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because some of the early Ovdei Avodah Zarah, including, as I told you, the Egyptians, they believed in one God that's non-physical, but they related to the way they practiced their religion, they related to sub-deities that were, absurd ideas, childish ideas, because they couldn't get out of the infantile. He says that's not as bad as a person who thinks that God actually has an emotion of compassion, for instance. A person will think such an idea, he says, he's further away from the truth than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And he says, and if you will say, but the person can't help himself because he was raised that way, he says, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah also were raised that way. So they also couldn't help themselves, and yet the Torah is machayev to destroy them. Chayev to destroy them, machayev misa. So what I'm telling you is like this, that it's not something that a person, the way God relates to this world, what is the concept that God loves the truth, the emes, and those people who embody the truth, that very concept is not one which a human being can totally fathom. So Yadus gave man the reality of the way God relates to the world. But does he feel that it's fair? I mean, or does he feel that this is the way it should be? Absolutely not. He can't. But we know that that's the way he relates to the world. And we subordinate our own emotions to this reality. Hashgachas Hashem is not something which a... That's why Moshe Rabbeinu asked. What did Moshe Rabbeinu ask? The first thing he asked was, Hodini nos rechacha. Hodini nos rechacha. It means he couldn't perceive how God relates to the world. How does God relate to the world? This person is such a nice person. It's unfortunate. He's an Ovid of Arazar and he's Chayef Kli. I mean, how's that work? We don't understand it. But we know that God does relate to the world. And we know one thing. We know that God relates to man through man's perception of the truth, of emes, of the way reality is. That's what the Rambam says. God loves emes, and he hates shekah. That's why the Rambam says a person should make sure in what to do everything he can with every fiber in his nature, in his makeup, to search for the truth. Because that's what God loves. If that concept, that's what I told you, Yadis came out with an idea that no one in the world could accept. And that is that falsehood is evil. Falsehood is evil and truth is good. And most people don't think of it that way. Most people think that what is evil? Evil is meanness. Evil is a person who's vicious. And good is kindness. That's not what Yadis says. Yadis says, and that's the whole Torah, basically. Only Bias Hashem. What is the good? The good is knowledge of is knowledge of the truth, knowledge of reality, knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is the good. People, religious people, are not comfortable with that notion. But that's the notion of Yadis. It's knowledge. To have access to the knowledge of God's Hashgach, the way God relates to the world. That's the purpose of the Torah, to give man this opportunity. You see the Achras HaYamin? It says all the nations will recognize Hashgachas Hashem, all the nations. So you see the purpose of the Torah is to give man this opportunity. But to judge a particular person as to whether or not he, in his circumstances, whether or not he was violated, he didn't use his Bechira properly, I mean, only God can make such a judgment. We can't make such a judgment. I said, Loma Soma Yaakov Sadaba Yisrael, Nistar Adarki Med Hashem, Umei Elokai Mishpati Yavor. So the question is that how is it possible the Jewish people ask, they say, how come we don't have Hashgacha? Nistar Adarki Med Hashem, Haftar Lechva, Umei Elokai Mishpati Yavor. That God is unjust. He doesn't recognize Klal Yisrael. Where is our Hashgacha? We're doing everything right and we don't have Hashgacha. So what is another answer? Halo yadata lo shamata. Elokei olam ad Hashem, borei ketosu oretz, lo yiyaf lo yiga. Ein cheker l'sponasa. Ein cheker l'sponasa. You're asking a good kasha, but you have to understand the premise. You're talking about a ad Hashem that's borei ketosu oretz. Ein cheker l'sponasa. There's no way to comprehend. There's no end to his knowledge. So the question may be a good question, but we're not saying you shouldn't investigate it as far as the person can, but the answer is you're talking about the Borei Olam. So why is it that the Borei Olam created and puts an individual in a certain situation? We don't know the answer to that. But we do know that God's will is that man should have knowledge, true knowledge, and God loves those that have the knowledge. That we know. Why a certain individual was placed in a situation, we don't have the answer to that. We have to know. That's Ein Cheker L'Sponasa. We don't know. Yadis demands a certain intellectual tolerance. That's the essence of Yadis. If you don't have that, you can't read the words of the Nevi'im and the words of the Psukim. It's impossible. There's a certain intellectual tolerance that we have to have. That's where the Marsha says that if certain ideas occur to you that are against the Torah, he says, then you should abandon those ideas and recognize that the reason why you have those questions is because of your lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand also. Tzadik, Verolo, and Rasha Vatovlo. It's a certain question. We don't know. But we don't know. But what does that have to do with the reality of God? There's nothing to do with the reality of God. The reality of God is not, we don't believe in God because he's good to us. That's not why we believe in God. We believe in God because he exists, because his existence is manifest. That's why we believe in God, not because of what we get. That's why v'ahavta eshet Hashem elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol ma'odecha. What is b'chol ma'odecha? What does Chazal say? B'chol mida u'mida shehu ma'oded lo. Anything that he dishes out to you, any mida that God gives a person, no matter what it is, he still it shouldn't infringe at all on his Avas Hashem. Why? Because his Avas Hashem is not based upon the good life that he has. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the knowledge of God. It has to do with the recognition of the imminence, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing to do with whether he's happy or whether he's sad, his personal life. Nothing to do with his personal life. That's not why we don't
believe in God because of a personal, we're personally satisfied. God gave us what we want, and that's why we believe in it. There's nothing. That's why the people who lived through the Holocaust, I'm not making a judgment on them, because, again, I said, judgments are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the people who lived through the Holocaust and abandoned Yadus, there's only one reason for it. It's because their concept of their commitment to Yadus and their understanding of Avas Hashem was not based upon the recognition of God. It was based upon other motives. And that's why they abandoned it. Okay. The chok means, what does chok mean? Chok means a law that a person can't figure out. What do you mean is a law? How can you say a law a person can't figure out? There's a reason for every chok. Every chok, there's a reason. The law says the only thing Shlomo couldn't understand was paradoma. So what do you mean a person can't figure it out? The answer is there's a difference between having a chok already established and trying to figure out what the reason behind it is and establishing it. No human being could establish the halachas. Never figure out that the right way to bring a person to recognition of God as a borei olam is to institute a concept of Shabbos. No one's going to come up with that idea. The only kind of dog is not with that idea. But to understand it once it's there, that's a different thing. Yes, it's intelligible. The Mishnah says, an interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hu hayoma hayiludim lomos v'meisim l'hachios v'chayim lidon. Okay, so we mentioned that what he's talking about is that a person should have a different idea of reality than that which strikes the emotions. It doesn't mean to say that a person should always be maske yom amisa. You can't be maske yom amisa because then you're going to be in total depression, and that's not the way of the Torah. Contrary, the Torah wants a person to be happy. Was the end of Mishlei Lev? Yeah. So a person is supposed to be a person should always be in a state of happiness. Well, what does it mean? It means like this. It means that when Rabbi Elazar Kapor, as I mentioned last week, Rabbi Elazar Kapor was a person who looked at the cycle, the entire picture. He wasn't overcome by the momentary emotional impact. For instance, a child is born, a person feels that this is life and death. He dislikes death. He abhors death. He's afraid of death. But he saw the entire cycle of human existence. That's what he saw before his mind's eye. And Rabbi Elazar Kapor says that a person should. You can't be extremist in this area. You have to realize that knowledge registers on a person piecemeal. So a person can understand something to a certain degree, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to affect his emotions immediately. Affecting the emotions is a different process. It wasn't like a part of the mean to say that you shouldn't have a simcha when a child's born. You shouldn't have a simcha. No, but you should simultaneously never lose the view of the cycle of human existence, and that the earthly existence only represents one stage of human existence. It's only one stage, a small stage of human existence. And a person should be able to perceive this through his mind. It's an interesting thing. You take a look in this week's Sedra. So in this week's Sedra, with the Chayasar, okay? So it starts off that Avraham Avinu comes to Kiryas Arba, to Hebron. And the Bnei Chayasar are there. It says, Vayova Avram Lispo Lasarav Lefkosa. Okay, so it says, so then he says, so he gets up and he speaks to Bnei Ches. Gev asoshav anochi imochim, tenu li achuzas kevri imochim v'ekbor amesi mofonon. So then it says, the Bnei Ches answer Avram, what do they say? They say, Shmoenu Adoni, Nisi Elokim Ato Besochenu. By the way, there's an interesting medrash in that. It says, Nisi Elokim, the medrash says they meant Nisi ata besochenu and Elokim ata besochenu. And Avraham Avinu said, don't take away from covered Malchuso Shalola. Interesting thing. It shows you, what does it show you? It shows that the Bnei Ches really didn't have a recognition of, see? Because, why does the Medrash say this? Because you see that Avraham Avinu, in the very next parsha, he says, don't allow Yitzchak. The whole mission of Eliezer was,
not to take it away from the Bnei Chais. What was the name of Bnei Chais? The Bnei Chais were on a low primitive level. That's why he went to, even though Lavan was really a Russia, based on Psuel. Psuel was also, but Psuel really died over there because he wanted to stop the Shidduch. So you have to be careful when you try to stop the Shidduch. So it says Psuel died. Psuel was a Russia, and Lavan his son was even a bigger Russia. It says a young Lavan of Psuel a young Rus. So you see, Lavan Arami was no tzaddik. But nevertheless, why did Avraham Avinu want from the base Besuel? Because the nature of the imperfection is important. Lavan was a very sublimated person. He was sublimated individual. The Bnei Chais were just primitive. And a person that is a chacham, Lavan was a chacham. But of course, all his energies were directed towards the wrong goals. But the offspring, but in terms of heredity, that was the proper heredity, you see. But the Bnei Chais were simply primitive people, and people who weren't capable of raising themselves, the instinctual, to a higher level. They weren't capable of sublimation, you see. So that's why he didn't want that his offspring, Yitzchak, should marry somebody with the Bnei Chais. But you take a look at the pasuk, it poses a little bit of a problem. Nesil Akim HaTobasachinu. It sounds like they recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nesil Akim, right? So that's why the Medrash says no. They meant